Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Should we just quickly check in before we play?
Yeah, check in. How are you feeling? How are you feeling?
Weird. I went to the beach alone today. Just as a quick break. Like, I went to my job today, which was 2 hours.
Don't brag, still please. Please don't brag about your job.
It was for 2 hours. It's the one day of this week that I'm working.
But are you exhausted?
I'm so tired.
We're literally 9 hours this week.
And I was like, I deserve a break. I checked the tide times. Perfect. But then don't you find, like, when you go to a beach alone, like one of those Ponsonby beaches, do you, like, I feel like the ultimate man of mystery. Because everyone else is there with a group of friends, and then I'm like...
They're like, he is sad.
What's he doing?
He is swimming through something. I have this crazy thing that's happened a few times now where I've, like, you know when you, like, bump into someone on the street and you're like, oh, hi, I haven't seen you in ages.
Yeah.
A couple of times that's happened now, like, mid-swim in the ocean, and it's really weird. Like, you'd be, like, kind of like, swimming in the, and you're like, oh, hi, haven't seen you in, like, 20 years. Well, like, it'll be 8, so, like, 10 years. And then, like, you're kind of catching up with someone, but you're, like, floating.
Floating in the sea.
And you're kind of, like, sort of semi-nude. And it's just, like, a really crazy encounter to be, like, slightly drowning and then catching up with someone.
And having a full conversation with water kind of lapping into your mouth that you know has sewage in it.
Yeah, absolutely. We are so hopeful in this city. We're like, oh, it's a gorgeous swim. Mm. A little bit of shit, but it's a beautiful day.
Anyway, I've had 7 coffees today, and I'm getting a similar vibe from you.
Absolutely. So many coffees. Today, I 100% sculled an iced coffee because I was thirsty.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, God, I could really do with a coffee. And then I was like, I got it to my mouth, the cup, and it just was like, like gulping it. Finished the whole thing, like one sip, and I was like, no, I was thirsty. And that caffeine is now running through my blood.
How I'm dealing with freelance life at the moment is I'll be like, I need to send that one email. And before I send it, I'm like, well, I need to wake up before I send it, so I'll have another coffee.
Yes. This is our post-Jono and Ben era. Like, this is like our, you know, like Lady Gaga has like her Joanne phase. This is our, like, you know, our post-Jono and Ben phase.
Yeah, in our Wikipedias, which any of you are perfectly permitted
to start.
Start
from scratch.
They don't exist. There is, like, nothing there yet.
You need to do the foundations. We're looking for you to do all the work.
But so you can separate those into the Jono and Ben era and then the post-Jono and Ben era.
And then the end of our careers.
Yeah. No, I reckon you could write a very juicy personal life sentence.
They're like, they had zero sexual chemistry. The end.
Anyway, anything else you want to say about your day before we...
Already sweating, and that's it, really.
Yeah. All right, let's play the theme song.
Cue theme song.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Welcome along to the Male Gaze live with an audience. See, you at home. People did show up.
Yeah, it's so exciting to have people here. We just took that opportunity to both put our phones on airplane mode.
I was like, this is classic us. I'm like, immediately on our phones.
Already got 4 notifications.
I got 2 texts. So I'm feeling very cool.
I got an
Both from my boyfriend.
Oh, I got an Instagram DM from my boyfriend who has chosen to go to Work the World tonight with his sister instead of coming to my show. But
these are the true podcast fans, right? Because they have chosen a small podcast over famous drag queens.
Yes. Slash the poor people who could afford a $15 show.
Those shows are so expensive.
It's very expensive.
Holy, and it's like every week. It's like, guess who's coming to New Zealand? And I'm like, I know, someone came last week.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't have enough money for it anymore.
I can't pay $90 a week to see every drag queen.
I'm glad it's in one swift, you know, big group. You know, like an antipasto platter. It's like, it's all there. A few grapes, few cheeses. In and out. I'm not there, but...
No,
I'm
you're
glad
here.
They're doing it.
Yeah, they'll be working the world, but we'll be here working this room.
Yeah.
And that's enough for
us. Yeah, this world of 60 people.
Yeah.
And what a world it is.
I honestly think you can't really truly know more than 60 people in your lifetime well. And so you are the 60 people that I've chosen.
Huge for you.
My chosen family.
Huge for you guys. It's crazy when I was thinking the other day, I was like, maybe I have 10 friends now. Like, I used to feel like my world was so populated, and now it's 10.
Yeah.
It's usually 10.
I'm the same, it's 10. It's one group chat, and then even in that group chat, there's three people who I don't have a single chat with.
Isn't it crazy to think that there are group chats in the world that you don't exist in? That keeps me up at night.
Wait, that's most
That's the Libra
chats.
In me. That's the Libra in me. That's like dying because of social anxiety. But I'm like, I'm not in that chat. They're talking about me.
Yes.
Which is the narcissist in me. That's like, well, if there's a group chat that I'm not in, they're clearly bitching about me.
Yeah, I like to think that too. But I'm always very impressed with baby boomers who have group chats.
Mm.
When they talk about, they're like in our group. But they do it on WhatsApp because they're old.
Yeah. That was the... Interesting, this could really divide the room, but that's what I felt like was the really interesting about the pride debates, the whole police chat.
Yeah, let's get into it,
let's
man.
Let's
really,
this really create some enemies in this. No, I'm sure most of our people here are on our side. Well, maybe they're not. Doesn't matter. We were still all at the big gay out, weren't we? And I feel like...
I was in Wellington. Yeah. I took a romantic trip away.
Oh,
so I was still being proud within the confines of a hotel room.
True gay activism.
Yes. You know what?
You took over that straight space and you made it very gay. Like, very gay.
You know what? I don't know.
The bed was gay. The carpet was gay.
The TV was gay. The shower
was gay.
The phone, the landline phone was gay.
You used the landline. Wow.
Yeah.
The Bible was gay.
The Bible was gay. I put it all up my butt.
But here's the thing about that debate. I felt like everyone pro-police was on Facebook, and everyone anti-police were on Twitter.
Yes, I mean, I think you're using very broad terms when you say anti-police.
Hate the police.
As if the people
pro-board? I don't know how you classify it.
I think there's pro-uniform, pro-T-shirt.
Mm.
And I'm pro-T-shirt all the time. Like, at school, I was like, we should be able to wear T-shirts. And that was my opinion.
I'm pro-polo.
Really?
No.
In 2019?
I don't hate a polo.
Really? How many do you own?
I've
never seen you wear a polo.
I only own this shirt in 4 colours. And just rotate them around.
Did you ever wear 2 polos, one on top of the other?
What the fuck was up with that?
I don't know.
Helen Steins were like, you need 2 polos.
Yeah.
And just tuck those things around.
You could wear 2 polos and a white t-shirt underneath.
That's
and then roll up 3
crazy.
Things.
What is going on?
You don't need 3 layers that only go to your bicep.
It was like 2002 and the entire fast fashion industry were like, shall we fuck shit up?
Yeah.
Let's just make people buy everything. Mm-hmm. You need
colors
to wear 3
up.
Pairs of pants. 2 polos and a white t-shirt and a necklace. 4 bracelets and a pair of glasses.
Yes, forget.
And a visor.
Forget tucking your belt into the loops. Let it hang as long as humanly possible.
I was. Actually, do you know who has great fashion? Hey Arnold.
Lady Gaga. Oh.
You're a true monster.
I was thinking about Hey Arnold today.
Really?
Crazy.
Weird.
I was like. Because I'm like, wow, he was. He, you could imagine that he would grow into the like hipster boyfriend we all wished we had.
I don't want to imagine him with facial hair, weirdly. I feel like he wouldn't suit us.
A long, wispy
What's
beard.
What's his hair doing?
His hair came in 2 sizes. It was only on the side, like Friar Tuck. But I think there was...
He had like a few crowns that he was like, oh, I can't deal with these crowns. I don't know what I'm going to do with my hair.
Well, he tucked them all into a little cap, which is why there's two separate pieces. Also, did you know, I always thought he had a kilt on. It was just a very long tartan shirt.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was trying to pull that look, and I never could.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to do the whole Hey Arnold thing. And I was like, that's right, I'm not a cartoon. My feet aren't this big.
I couldn't do that. When it was like baggy jeans and long shirts, but I can't do that because I've got short little legs. And when I do that, I look like a penguin.
Has anyone ever given you like hard truths about your body? Like, did a parent or ever or anyone in your life be like, you can't wear that? I felt like a few times in my life, I'd like put on what I thought was quite a fun look. Like one time we went to the Gold Coast and I bought exactly what was on the mannequin.
Yeah.
And then I remember like walking down and mum being like, ooh, fun. And me being like, she hates it. Keep wearing it. This is your activism.
I was like literally queer-eyed by the straight female friends of mine at high school. Like, I was friends with like five other girls, and they were like, we're taking you shopping.
Gross.
And no, it worked, because then the next Mufti Day, people were like,
who is that?
Who is that wearing or jeans waist top to bottom?
Poor Jeans West. Oh my god, Jeans West. Aww. It was like, I remember I was like, I really know how to shop at JJ's. And I used to like brag about that to my friends. I was like, you just need to know how to look at JJ's. Like through that pile, like Mount Vesuvius of $15 t-shirts. Just like digging through until I found, you know, like an orange. I had like a novelty tee. But I was like, it's the trick is it's not too novelty, you know? It's just like, it's a sort of a joke.
I'm literally wearing a novelty. The first one I've bought in a while.
I like it. It's really cute.
It's the popsicle band from the popsicle ads.
They were very much my era.
Yeah, you know, like I know.
Who's the hottest out of the bunch?
I think the one with the sunglasses on. No, the drummer.
The piano player.
Wow, this is going to be so fun to listen to for the people who can't
Everyone's
see the T-shirt.
At home typing popsicle band, getting no references. Where'd you find it?
Mr. Vintage. Crazy.
Wow.
I know.
Are you straight now?
Blast from the past.
Yeah. I didn't realize you've come out.
Literally, the other stuff on there was like a double brown singlet.
When are you ever on the Mr. Vintage website?
I got a sponsored Facebook ad, and it was a nice reprieve. I don't know if anyone else is getting the same.
Reprieve.
Reprieve. Recently, I've only been getting these ads for a brand of shorts that is exceptionally stretchy.
Oh,
yes!
Yes! I get those too. What are they called?
They're called chubbies.
Chubbies, yeah.
And it's like a video of a guy doing high kicks in his togs.
Do you know what? Yeah, it's like so deep in my subconscious. Like, I think I dream about it. You know what I mean? Because I'm like... because, you know, you don't talk about Facebook advertising with your friends. You're just like... you are scrolling, and then it's like, you know, it goes past your face, and then you never look back. And then you're like, it's just like there.
Chubbies,
it's just
chubbies,
the back of your
chubbies,
head. Chubbies. Yeah, they've got like the short and then like the elastic. And there's that kind of one that's like pastel Aztec. Like that's the kind of pattern.
Oh, I feel like all the ones that I'm getting are like pineapples, mangoes, bananas, different
mangoes?
Tropical fruits.
Mangoes are on theme, but they don't look nice.
No, they don't.
Like you're like someone like... trying to cut into a mango, trying to peel it.
Yeah.
I get the weirdest shit sponsored to me on Facebook. Like, it's either like chubs or like the horniest jock straps. Like,
really?
Yeah. Or like male underwear or whatever. You're like, oh my. Imagine being in the closet watching gay porn all the time and then being on your Facebook and then suddenly like your Facebook's like advertising you.
That's the world we are dealing with.
That's the world we're dealing with.
I've definitely been shown like jock straps, but they're from wish.com and they're like $3.
You wish.
Made of plastic. Look, okay.
I was going to say one more thing.
Yes, okay.
About Facebook.
Before we get into literally anything we've planned,
I got advertised a t-shirt that said, and this is crazy, and this is when I was like, Facebook is listening. And I hope they subscribe to the podcast. It was a t-shirt and it was like split down the middle.
Yeah.
On one side, a horse that said, your uncle. On the other side was a unicorn dancing, and it said, my uncle. I have recently become an uncle, and I was being Facebook advertised gay uncle merch. And I was like, Facebook is not only listening, they're like, go on. Like, they're like, They want like a D&M with me.
Yeah.
And they're getting like all the, they're hearing conversations that someone's had in another room. Like,
fucking hell.
I was like, this is spooky. Anyway.
Did you buy the
Googling.
Top?
I know I did not. But it's crazy. Unless it's for me, presuming my uncle's gay.
Yeah, maybe they've got it confused. Was it
maybe
no,
Facebook's trying to tell me something.
Text your uncle right now.
Text your uncle right now.
You gay, bro.
You seen this? And then it's like, yeah, that.
Okay, guys, we're going to do the fact of the gay.
Oh, wow, I forgot about that.
Yeah. This is a regular part of the podcast we do every time.
Yeah, we do literally every episode.
Okay, so Pennsylvania...
In true fact of the gay style, we haven't researched it.
I mean, like, that's interesting. Copy, paste.
That's a good title. Put that in.
Okay, a Pennsylvania bird watcher called Shirley Caldwell has spotted something quite unusual in her backyard. It's a cardinal, which is a type of bird that appears to be half male, half female, right? Which is called a genuine bilateral gynandomorph, which means half male, half female. So separate to like the term intersex means like you can be anywhere on the spectrum of intersex. Yes. This means literally half male and half female. And what's so interesting about this bird is that it
like a mermaid is half human, half fish.
Yes.
I'm smart.
Well, this bird is like, the males in this version of bird, the cardinal, are like a bright red. It says vermilion. And then the females are...
Definitely a gay bird if it's vermilion.
I know. And the females are taupe.
Well,
the females are tarp.
I worked in an outdoor furniture warehouse and we had a... Don't mock me.
That's a good job.
It was a good job. It was a good job. It was $23 an hour. No commission. I sold to Annabelle Langbein and Graham Henry. So the full spectrum.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Huge flex. And
what do you mean by the full spectrum? A girl and a boy?
No, like a chef and a rugby coach. That's the spectrum. Anyway, there was lots of couches made out of the umbrella fabric, which is amazing. It can rain. It doesn't fade in the sun. It's really amazing. And in the color taupe. And every time I'd say it, I'd be like, hey, this is amazing fabric. It's umbrella fabric. And it is in the color. We do gray. We do brown. We do taupe. We do... I was like, am I saying it right?
Yeah. I don't know. Do you guys know? Taupe. Cool. Yeah, cool. Taupe rhymes with grope.
Sure.
Anyway, this bird is like, if you look at the photo of it, it's split down the middle. Half of it is red and half of it is taupe. So it's like there's a line down
Vermilion
the middle.
Vermilion and taupe.
Vermilion and taupe, yeah. And it's got a male partner.
Oh.
And that's the fact of the game.
I saw a bird. Oh, I've seen a few birds in my life. She's been outside, and...
This is already brave for Chris to talk about birds.
I can't believe I've been outside. No, I saw... I watched this David Attenborough documentary about birds, where he specifically comes to New Zealand, because we're the best place for birds. And... But these birds, the way that they coo their other bird friends over... God, I should be David Attenborough, right? Is by setting up a little art gallery...
What?
Yes. So the male birds, they do all the hard work. They're like, they're trying to impress the female. And so they set up these little art galleries under little roofs that they've made out of sticks because they're birds. And they'll just collect junk, like, you know, anything blue, anything green, anything red, whatever. And then they'll categorize it by color into these little color piles and then like lay them all out.
Yeah.
And then the female bird flies over and she's like, what have you got? What have you got? Like flying to all their little galleries.
Wow.
And then she's like, I like you. You're the cleanest or you've made the best mess or whatever. And then they hook up.
Do they keep the art?
I don't know. I tuned out by that point, but I saw one in Wellington. Went to the gallery. There was a... No, Melbourne. and I'm a mess.
The Wellington of Australia.
Yeah. And I saw a bird collecting, no shit, like lots of blue things and putting them in a pile. And I was like, this is fucking crazy.
To be honest, no offense, David Attenborough, but it's a bit rich calling it an art gallery. It's just a collection of junk.
No, you should see it. It's literal art. It's the, like...
No.
It is. It's
birds
like
don't
McCann
do
who? It's incredible.
Really?
Yeah. You've got to watch it. I don't have a queen of the week.
I wrote down two.
Ooh, who?
Chris did. So we've got a Google Doc for today, and I saw that Chris had made it because I made yesterday's. And I was like, damn, he's gotten ahead of me. But then what he had done was just copy and pasted yesterday's into a new doc, called it Wednesday Show, and changed nothing in the document.
I took out the things we talked about yesterday. So
that's good.
I did a little bit of work.
Anyway, two queens of the week. Did you watch the Grammys?
No.
Okay. Two glorious things happened. Number one, they did a tribute to Dolly Parton. You know, it was amazing. It was incredible. A bunch of artists got there to sing Katy Perry, Kacey Musgrove, Miley Cyrus.
I'm literally watching this as soon as I get home.
It's great. But what I loved about it was that Dolly Parton did sing most of it herself.
Great. Like, she... Perfect.
Couldn't just watch her own tribute.
Oh, was she sitting in a chair watching it, or was she on stage?
No, she emerged like partway through each song. So Katy Perry and Kacey Musgrove are singing "Here We Go Again," and it's appalling. Katy Perry goes so hard.
I love that song.
Katy Perry is like, "Here we go." Oh. I don't know. She gives so much that it's.
Oh. Is she in that weird Balmain couture look?
She's in this pink cowboy hat, and this. It's like what she.
No.
It's
no. Why it's, Katy Perry singing Dolly Parton? That makes zero sense to me. I'm offended.
It was crazy.
It should be me. I should be up there.
And then Kacey Musgrove is beside her. Kacey Musgrove is a country singer who just won Album of the Year. You need to listen to the
does
album.
Does she have the long brown hair?
Yes, she does.
Oh, cool. I know pop culture.
Kacey Musgrove looks like she's standing as far away as possible and kind of judging everything that Katy Perry does. But then they only sing for like 20 seconds. And then Dolly Parton comes through the middle, sings most of the song. Then Miley Cyrus comes out, they sing Jolene. And then at the end, a whole bunch of other people, they sing 9 to 5 all together. But again, Dolly just takes the lead.
It's heaven. I really need to see it. I'm going to watch this as soon as I get home. So who's the queen of the week? Dolly Parton.
Yeah, but also secondary nomination, Diana Ross also sung at
two
the...
big players.
Incredible. And then like halfway through the song, she went, "Happy birthday to me!"
And wow.
And her birthday is the 27th of March. So.
I love that. I'm a bit so like good. That. When it's like September, I'm like, birthday month. And then basically whenever I go into a room, I'm expecting a surprise party. So I'm like, oh, here we go. You know, and I love it. Nothing. It's my empty house.
I'm not like that because I'm a December baby. So when my birthday's coming up, everyone's like, "Have you done your Christmas shopping yet?" And I'm like, "No, I get my presents first."
Oh yeah, when is your birthday in December?
The 10th of December.
Write that down.
Write that down,
audience.
As the 60 most important people in my life.
True.
I expect gifts from all of you at my 31st, which is a very important birthday because. It's 10 years since your 21st, and so that I will cry about that.
Did you have a big 21st?
You were there. It was like a... No, because... Again, because my birthday...
Was I there?
You did.
I can literally remember nothing in my life.
It was at my sister's house. We had a chocolate fountain.
Oh, and there's a photo of me, and I look so straight.
So straight.
So straight.
Yeah. There's a photo of me where I look even more straight, because it's a photo of me and my girlfriend. And then... And then as the caption my mum wrote, "Eli and his beautiful girlfriend, Brinley." Ooh.
That's the great thing about Facebook is that it'll just like pop up as a memory. Oh my goodness.
Well, there she is.
There she is. And she's in your life. I mean, you guys have really held on to that relationship.
Yeah.
I feel like she's trying to get you back.
I'm ready.
You're ready.
I'm straight. I shop at Mr. Vintage. I'm
you are straight.
Ready
you are
for a girlfriend
straight now.
Also, me and Brinley are doing a show called X's. It's on in a few weeks. Come, it's on in the basement.
A massive plug just fell into the room.
Yeah.
So we are talking about. Well, we're not actually. We're just gossiping about Facebook. But we were going to talk about like books. I honestly am so stupid. Like, it takes me so long. I think I mentioned this in the previous podcast. AKA yesterday about how I'm slowly trying to chip through Sally Field's autobiography. It's like the only book I bought this summer. I was like, definitely this. Like everything, Michelle Obama's book was out. Like there's a whole bunch of great books, and it's like Sally Field's. And
why
it's taking me, it's going to take me all year to read it.
I got my sister Drew Barrymore's autobiography, Wildflower, for Christmas.
Fuck, of course it's called Wildflower.
Yeah.
And it's just a whole bunch of photos. Like, I accidentally took this photo of my feet. Aren't toes beautiful?
Basically, yeah. She's definitely barefoot on in bootleg jeans on the cover.
Because her Instagram is like a whole bunch of things that she's found accidentally that look like love hearts, right? She's like, look at this stone. It looks like a heart. Love is everywhere.
That was a good... Your voice is kind of trying to do a...
Trying to go, Drew. I love Drew. I do love Drew.
She's really good. Running Cars with Boys. Great film. Charlie's Angels. Great film.
Let's not get into this. Let's get into what we prepared.
Okay.
So, Eli and I thought we'd write some fanfic. Oh, no.
Wow. Okay.
Of varying lengths, and we've spent varying amounts of time on them.
Yes, we
have. I finished mine just before this episode. So that's good. Who wants to go first?
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, okay, you go first.
Okay. All right. I wanted to do an erotic fan fiction, because why else would you write fan fiction?
I don't know, to live out a fantasy that you want? That's not sexual. I'm just trying to defend my non-sexual fanfic right now.
Anyway, I've chosen a property that I loved as a child. I wanted to bring back. I'm really worried about reading this in front of people, but here it goes.
I'm so insecure about writing, by the way. Like, I literally failed writing all the time at school.
You're literally a professional, a paid writer.
I know. Every day I'm shook about that. I'm like, they have no idea how much I failed at school at this.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, here's my fan fiction. Feel free to interrupt at any point.
I will, always.
Tommy and Chucky weren't rugrats anymore.
Interruption.
Yep.
Okay. Keep going.
Keep going. I want to get very clear, they are of age in the story. It was their first...
Tommy and Chucky?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
It was their first year at college, and at 19, they were way more than just all grown up.
This is so fun.
They'd been friends since diapers, and with Chucky starting his English literature degree because he was too scared to study anything else, and Tommy studying engineering so he could be an inventor like his dad, they were ready for the three best years of their life. But... Chucky was worried. These might be the three hardest years of his. You see, ever since they were diaper-clad toddlers, Chucky had been holding feelings back.
It's true.
Feelings for Tommy Pickles. And the... And these days... When
I don't know where this is going. I'm so...
There's so much more, so I just gotta get through this. And these days, whenever he saw him, he got a reptile-sized boner in his green shorts. And felt his heart beat behind the image of Saturn on his t-shirt. He's still wearing the same clothes that he did as a toddler.
It's now like a tiny tank.
Yeah, it's a crop. Tonight was the toga party to
Hold
welcome...
On, is Chucky out in this scenario, or he's closeted?
Okay, just listen to story.
I am Chucky.
Tonight was the toga party to welcome them to university, and Chucky had got changed into his toga, which covered both nipples in the toilet. Because he's shy.
Both nipples in the toilet.
But Tommy was confident and comfortable enough to change in front of him in their room. Chucky tried to watch subtly, but he was about as subtle as the Rugrats when they used to sneak out past their parents. That is to say, he was not subtle at all, but somehow he got away with it.
I'm so embarrassed that I have to listen to this in front of people.
We're halfway.
Oh, God.
Tommy finished changing and stared at Chucky.
You ready to go?
Don't do the
voices. Don't do the voices.
He asked in his iconic voice.
I iconic.
Iconic voice. His iconic voice that somehow sounded like a baby, but also someone who packed 20 packets of smokes a day. Chucky had to tell him. It had been 18 long years of friendship, a trip to Paris, a truly weird and unnecessary crossover with the Wild Thornberrys. And a teenage high school career in which everyone just looked a little bit off. But he couldn't keep it in any longer. He could feel his dill pickle throbbing.
That is his brother's name. You cannot.
And he had to speak. Tommy, I love you, he said. And I want to be with you. I want to talk to you like we used to, in a secret language that only babies can understand. But somehow also older toddlers can understand, even though they speak fluent English to adults, but also somehow younger babies don't understand that language. Anyone else think that was weird? That language. I'm scared of everything, but you can knock off my glasses anytime. I want to be in you like the Rugrats were in Paris. Being with you is more fun than going to Euro Reptile Land. Except I haven't been able to try the ride yet. I'm addicted to you like Charlotte Pickles is to her job. I want you to screw me and rip my hair out till I look like Angelica's Cynthia doll.
I wish I went first.
Get ready, because the next line's a doozy. I want you to fill my lil asshole. And Tommy was into it.
Is that where you gave up?
So they stayed home from the toga party and had full adult consensual sex, because I feel like it's really important to stress at the end of the story that these characters are not babies. They are now of age. They are, especially now, all grown up. Thank you.
Why, oh why do I have to follow that? That was perfect.
It was disgusting.
It was filthy.
It was also like, I truly did identify with Chucky, so I was really living through him then.
Yeah,
like,
he was such a closet case. Yeah, he was. It's perfect.
He was a closet case? That two-year-old was a fucking closet case.
No, but like, it was like, it was me, you know, like the closet case inside myself. I was Chucky. Oh, mine is not sexy at all.
No, that's good. We need to clean our palate.
God, well, this is the cleanest thing. You wait for all your boners to shrink back inside of your body.
All your dill pickles.
All your... Enough. That is his brother's name. That is an infant you were talking about. This is about... Okay, so I don't really understand fanfic because I don't read anything. mainly pictures. This is based on an actual dream I've had about a certain celebrity. And then it's me and this celebrity. So here, let's get into this.
Okay.
It was a Wednesday afternoon. Nothing out of the ordinary. Just a day like any other. Living in the beating LA heat. That's right. I live in LA now. I'm in my sun-drenched LA apartment, catching up on the morning news, scrolling through Twitter, and downing a smoothie that I have definitely put too many ingredients in. It's thick. Too thick. Too thick to drink. Why do I put myself through this? Do I even like smoothies? No, I am a toast guy. Always have been, always will be. Why am I trying to convince myself that I like smoothies when really all I want is two pieces of Marmite toast? Oh yeah, that's right. I live in LA now. And you can't buy Marmite in LA.
You were so right. This is not sexy.
Wait for it to get even less sexy. The phone rings, which is shocking. Who even calls in 2019? No caller ID. It's an unsaved random number I'm afraid to answer. Could this be immigration? Am I going to be sent back home? I live in LA now. Or Is this what I think any call from an unsaved number is? Someone calling me to offer me a job that will solve all my financial concerns. I immediately answer, hello, Christopher Parker speaking. God damn it, my perfect phone manner that my father installed in me from a young age. No one answers the phone like that in LA. Why couldn't I have just said hey or hello?
Those iconic LA phrases.
Now I will deter the caller who is going to hire me and solve my financial stress. Hi, sorry, is this Chris Parker from NZ? They already know who I am. Yes, it is, I answer tentatively. Little did I know that what would come out of this phone call would then go on to change my life forever. They inform me that they were a personal assistant to a very well-known celebrity in America. Yes, that's that this celebrity was a fan of my work, that they had seen all of the male gaze web series on YouTube, available now, and that they wanted to meet me in person. They told me that this wasn't a work thing. This was strictly social. This was a celebrity looking to be my friend. You have my interest, I replied on the phone. But one question, who is the celebrity? They answered, Julia Roberts. Now, it's important to clarify that at this point, I don't have a relationship with Julia Roberts. We are not family, we have never worked with each other, and we have nothing to do with each other till this point in time. I arrive at her house in the late evening. The sun is setting, glaring through the windows, filling her house, which is open plan, surprisingly, Scandinavian, with a gorgeous orange hue. Her assistant opens the door. It's a large wooden door. It swings open. You must be Chris. Miss Roberts is waiting for you. You may call her Julia. Julia. My heart skips a beat. Do I leave my shoes on or do I take them off? I ask the assistant as they begin to leave the house with me alone inside. Shoes off! A voice echoes from a distant hallways. It's Miss Roberts. Sorry. Julia. She doesn't introduce herself. She doesn't make small talk. She dives straight in. What do you want to drink? She asks. Water, I answer. No, something stronger, she insists. What do you want to drink? Vodka, whiskey, rum, gin? I'm not really much of a drinker. Okay, fine then. Aperol spritz. She takes me outside to her large fire pit, a big large bowl with an open flame, and low bench seating all the way around. Gorgeous.
Wait, why do you need a fire pit in LA?
I have no idea.
It's hot there.
Literally, this was just the dream.
Okay.
But I definitely remember the huge fire pit. It's getting late. The sun has set, and Julie and I... We talk all night. Blankets delicately laid over our laps, drinking back our Aperol spritz. Aperol spritz after Aperol spritz. It's getting late. The sun has set and Julie and I are left alone in the dark. The fire is the only thing keeping us lit. That and the light within Julia's eyes. She turns to me, grabbing my arm. Would you like to see the original copy of Pretty Woman?
Wait, what do you mean? That like VH? The first VH?
I'm getting to it.
Okay, sorry.
The script. This is the first shop chat we've had all night. Excuse me, I gasp, feeling my stomach turn inside out. I've got the original printed copy of Pretty Woman, the script. Would you like to see it? She grabs my arm without even letting me answer and leads me into her house. We go up her wide staircase with no rails and into her walk-in wardrobe. She looks at me again. Oh, no, sorry. She opens a box and inside is the script. I touch it with my hands.
Beautiful descriptive writing.
Thank you. I'm a writer. She grabs my arm and looks at me once more. Shall we burn it? No. Come on. Don't be weak. Let's burn it. Fuck it. You know what? It's just a script. It doesn't define me. I'm not confident, but I can't say no to those eyes. Or that smile. The greatest smile in Hollywood. Okay, then. We return to the fire pit. She's holding the script over the open flame. She laughs manically, but it's Julia Roberts, so it's still kind of beautiful. Fuck it, she says. And she throws the script into the flame. It catches. The fire grows in intensity. The paper curls. It ignites and then disappears. She turns to me once more, grabs my arm, looks deep into my eyes, and says... why did you make me do that? Who even are you? How dare you? And then I woke up.
Oh. Wow.
It honestly fucked me up for a month.
What a twist.
You know when you go onto this website, you're like, what do dreams mean? And you're like, Julia Roberts, Pretty Woman. Like, I hadn't even watched the film in like 10 years. And then just like out of the blue, that dream was like, boom, bitch.
Why do you think she wanted to burn the script?
Eli, I don't have the answers. That's why I'm telling it to this room right now.
Wow. Did you know, okay, this is news about Julia Roberts this week. They were going to make a spin-off of My Best Friend's Wedding about Rupert Everett's gay character's wedding that she then tries to destroy because she can't let anyone else be happy.
Let's fund that film.
Yes, get
it. Starting up a Pledge Me right now.
Kickstarter.
We're going to join our Kickstarter. So before the show, we got our lovely audience to write down... this couch is just awful, by the way, isn't it? Eli and I, for those at home, we're sitting like on either side of a long, gross couch.
It feels
like we're going to run at any point.
It does. We also have to sit on the arms of the chair in order for everyone to be able to see us.
Our producer said so. He's such a stage mom.
He is.
So we got members of the audience to write down on pieces of paper inside of this Twilight bucket fictional characters that they want / wish / think to be gay.
Yeah, and we're gonna decide, gay or straight.
We're gonna talk about them.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about them. Okay.
/ I'm gonna be like, who? Because I haven't.
Okay,
read
the first one is incredible. Ms. Trunchbull from Matilda. Okay. I saw Matilda.
She's a queer icon.
She's a queer icon. She is a fierce sportswoman. She does javelin and discus, right? Mm. She's a tough. She's you know how, I don't know, sometimes when you see, like, Judith Collins in the news... She...
You think Miss Trunchbull?
Yeah! Well, sometimes she is so tough and sometimes, like, confidently lies that I'm, like, exceptional.
The ultimate villain.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, she's obviously... Miss Trunchbull's gay, I reckon.
This one, yeah, definitely gay.
Yeah.
I love her big house, and I do feel sorry for... What, I mean, what does she do? Does she pack up and leave at the end of the movie? For someone who's watched Matilda yesterday. But where is she? She went to LA. She's at Julia Roberts' house now. This piece of paper says, I only watch shows with strong queer characters.
Oh.
I know who wrote
respect.
That.
Beautiful. My next one says Jesus. And I reckon Jesus is 100% straight. Straight. He's the sort of straight guy that your friend who's a girl, she's dating him and you're like, why? He smells like bourbon.
No, he's the guy who turns up to the party and pulls his guitar out. And he's like, do you guys know Jack Johnson? And everyone's like, shut up. Leave the party.
And when you're talking to him, you're like, what's up with your thumbnail? He's like, I grew it out so I can pick the strings better.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm going to think about getting a tattoo on my foot that says grace. So it's like, I'm walking with grace.
Oh.
I thought about that sincerely for a moment in my life. This says Spider-Man, and they got greedy and put in another one, Johnny Bravo.
Oh.
Let's discuss Johnny Bravo.
He's queer. He cares about his appearance.
I think he's projecting so much masculinity. Mm-hmm. That's because he's insecure.
I agree.
Yeah.
If Johnny Bravo had an Instagram, it'd be a speedo shot every day, I reckon,
he's
in different
definitely
beaches.
Gay. He's definitely like almost a porn star.
Yeah.
Right? And it's, but the crazy. Johnny
Bravo would have an OnlyFans account.
Absolutely. And I wouldn't pay for it. Yeah. It's crazy. The crazy thing is, like, who does he hang out with through most of that series? A young girl? Right?
I don't know.
Are they friends? Are they family? What's the deal that they're neighbors? See, I know. You know what? Maybe he's cancelled.
Oh, yeah. That sounds a bit like Drake and Millie Bobby Brown.
Oh, my God.
My next one is He-Man. Yes, gay.
Yes. Aladdin. Disney version. Oh, I see, like the traditional Aladdin story, yes. Aladdin Disney version. He's so hot, Aladdin Disney, right?
Yes, he's... Oof.
Is he gay?
I don't know, but I wish I had the confidence to wear an unbuttoned vest.
Literally, if you walked out of the house in like an open bolero, I'd be like, turn around, go back inside, change. Go through whatever Mr. Vintage you've got in there and come back out and then we'll go.
I've got the red Power Ranger. I do not remember which one is red.
Power Rangers, though, was it, definitely it... Circle Jerk.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's the vibe. Like, just kind of after, like, they're fighting monsters. They're all kind of weirdly... We know a Power Ranger. We know someone who was the yellow Power Ranger. I actually auditioned.
And he still gets creepy fans.
Yeah, I auditioned for Power Rangers once, and the casting brief was young, must look good in lycra. Did not get it. Got a second audition, and the character brief was less attractive than Power Rangers. And I was like, cuckoo. Feeling awesome about myself. Didn't get that, and then got an audition for Runner in Back of Shot. And also did not get that. So fuck Power Rangers, that's cancelled.
I've got one here, Severus Snape. He's from Harry Potter, which you haven't read.
Alan Rickman, right? Are we talking the book or the film? Because I've watched a little bit of the film and I read the first book.
I think he could be queer in kind of a moody, emo way, but then he's also like really in love with Lily Potter. That's like the story hangs on the fact that he was in love with Harry's mum.
Oh God!
I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to say Severus Straight.
Severus Straight.
Yeah.
Is it not Severus Snape? That's not Alan Rickman, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is. He definitely has the energy in the movie that I've watched of someone who, like, furiously masturbates.
Yeah. Like, in just the like, bathroom at like work. Kind of,
yeah, like, angry, an angry wank. I've got Thingy here. Thingy, I think, is... like the ultimate queer icon in the sense that doesn't abide by any binary whatsoever.
No,
like,
yeah.
It's like completely fluid and sort of everything's spherical.
I honestly think like how many genders does his species have?
I think we should now always refer to the thing as they.
They, yeah.
Like, and we will take that and we're going to run with that now.
Yeah.
I love that they have a giant phallus on their head though.
Yes.
They're like, what is it for? And the designer's like, for nothing. It's just part of their look. And it's definitely for fucking.
It's a big dick. And the next one is Stacey's mum, throwback.
What?
Who is absolutely pansexual.
Another Harry Potter fucking thing. Ron Weasley? Straight.
So straight.
So straight.
And I've got Harry Potter as well. They're all straight. J.K. Rowling is a homophobe. Let's be real.
Simba? So straight. Though,
yeah.
Animal Kingdom, new rules.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Animals, like Thingy, I'm like, what? We're just projecting like this heteronormative society projected onto us, then onto animals.
Yeah.
It's like, they fuck whatever. Like, yeah. They then eat their own kind.
A dog will fuck a pot plant and eat its own shit. Yeah,
exactly. The crazy thing is, like, when you watch, like, Looney Tunes and then the designers have made, like, the bunnies sexy and you're like, yeah, I guess that's a sexy bunny. And then you're like, whoa.
I've got Elmo here.
They. And, like, everything's open.
Yeah.
But they child?
Polyamorous.
I mean, we should really discuss Bert and Ernie here, really, right? That relationship. But I mean, clearly...
Yeah, they're just gay. They're two cis gay men who fuck each other. I think they're tired of each other.
Yeah.
I think they're getting ready to open things up.
They will open it up. They will absolutely open up their relationship. And then... oh my God, I can so see it. Ernie being like, we're open now. And then Ernie's going out a little bit more than Bert.
He's going out heaps, and Bert is like, am I not good enough?
Ernie's like, let's make up a new rule only when I'm away. You know, whatever.
Yes.
Like, yeah. And then Bert's like, I think we should break up. It's fanfic, guys. Get over it. These are fun. Shrek? Great.
The fucking, he's so straight, in my opinion. Yeah, he lives in the mud.
Like all straight people. Straight people are from the mud. Straight people live in swamps.
I've got Mike Delfino from Desperate Housewives. Wasn't he the character that was actually gay?
Mike Delfino.
No,
that was Terry Hatchett's guy,
yes.
Right? Now, okay, so this is coming from the back row. You need to yell out loudly and then we'll repeat into the microphones. Why do you think, or why do you wish that they were gay? Just hoped.
Oh, yeah.
He was good with a ladder.
He was a handyman,
he was
right?
A handyman, right? I watched a lot of Desperate Housewives growing up.
Yeah, but then when the Sexy Gardener left the show, it was like, okay, what am I watching?
Name?
His name was Jesse
Metcalf. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's he up to?
He did one other film. It was called, I don't know. What was that? Sean Tucker Must Die. Yes.
That like every 16-year-old gay boy who watched Desperate Housewives with their mums like went to the film.
Yes.
Oh, here's a good one. Lizzie McGuire.
Okay.
Bisexual, maybe.
Yeah, bi,
we think bi.
She's
people
a bi queen.
People are nodding in agreement. She's a bi
She's
queen.
She's a bi queen.
Yeah, definitely. Anyone who puts that much stuff in their hair, like so many clips of their hair. And she was very, she wrote in her diary, right? A lot, or maybe not. There was a bit of diary action, and there was definitely that cartoon character of her that appeared. I watched a lot of it.
Wow.
I'm revealing that I've watched a lot of that.
Have you seen that clip recently that, and it's been going around of Hilary Duff in the movie Raise Your Voice, where she is in a singing class and she does a vocal exercise, but they've clearly used three separate people's voices to play her one voice?
I just love it that at some point in school, like someone's like, prove to me you can sing. If someone said to me, prove to me you could sing, what song would you sing?
Probably fucking Happy Birthday. I wouldn't go, like, that's what, the confidence to stand up and be like, oh, oh, whoa, whoa, I don't know.
Whoa, I just like walk out of the room and like leave, just trilling to yourself. Let's do a few more.
Luna Lovegood, who's from Harry Potter and who is undoubtedly gay, in my opinion. Kooky, fun, gay, too interesting to be straight.
Aragorn from Lord of the Rings.
Straight.
Straight. Fucking who's straight. Gay in Lord of the Rings?
No
Samwise
one.
Samwise Genji.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, Samwise and Frodo. Of course they've... I don't know.
I reckon they hooked up. They were like, let's put on the rings. And then when no one could see them, they were like... They're like, I can't find your dick.
Yes. If the ring's on, it doesn't count. And next I've got Elizabeth Bennet from
Which is why they always come out, they're like, like after they take them, put their ring back on. You know, they're like, it's so weirdly sexual.
Like coming up for air after eating an ass.
Wow.
I've got Elizabeth Bennet here from Pride and Prejudice. You ever read Pride and Prejudice? Of course
not.
Well, Bridget Jones's Diary is the same story. It starts with the sentence.
Did you know that 10 things I had about you? When people tell you that fact, you're like, I know.
Anyway, I think Elizabeth Bennet is straight as hell. She is straight, 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 straight. She's all about the boys.
M from Bond.
A beautiful older lesbian, in my opinion.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is a hard one. This is really hard. Okay, just keep people call out. What do you reckon? Gay. Oh yeah, maybe even like asexual.
I think about Judi Dench and the fact that she is going blind like once a week.
That was so hard to hear. She's incredible, eh? Maybe
she's
our queen
awesome.
Of the week.
Yeah, she is our queen of the week.
Yeah, I want to watch Dinner with the Dames. Is that what Tea with the Dames? Have you seen that? Like, I've seen it advertised. I'm like, what is this Rialto fluff? But then. I was like, buy me a ticket. We went to a movie at Rialto the other day. We saw The Favourite at Rialto.
Oh, lovely film.
So great. But Rialto is so fucking funny because everyone who goes there is like a Remueta mum, you know?
Yes.
And they're like, and they watched the movie like your mum watches TV. So they're like, yeah. What? I don't get it. Like, what's going on? And then be like, oh. Like murmurs around the whole cinema. Do you want some chips? Do you want some chips? Like, just like everyone, just like, shut up.
I love how they print out the reviews and then staple them to that little wall as well. So,
if you arrive, like, are people like turning up there being like, what will I see?
Well, I'll read this board of reviews.
They'll be like, oh no, wait, it's 8:15, we have to go see Shrek.
Shrek?
Does that play at Rialto?
Rialto's playing Shrek 1.
Reruns of Shrek.
Harry McCleary is who I've got. Bit of Kiwiana. I'm going to say, yes, gay. All the dogs are gay. It's their chosen family.
Scarface Claw is the queerest of them all,
yeah.
Right? That fucking cat.
Sauntering
and
through.
And my mum would, like, honestly, what my mum would live for when she would read us Harry McCleary. beautiful moments of my childhood. And whenever she came up to Scarface Scott, she'd always be like, and Scarface Scott. Like, she's not really an acting queen, but would really turn it out for Scarface Scott. So I've got, like, you know, I stan Scarface.
That's so
good.
Be
a good drag name.
Scarface Claw, absolutely.
Please welcome to stage Scarface Claw. And then out comes, like, in a Catwoman suit, you know, like.
Yeah.
You can have that for free. You can I want 10% of your takings.
I just had a vision of your mum listening to this podcast and you, hearing you say she's not an acting queen. No. And being like,
I actually should confirm that she won the acting prize at high school for playing Widow Quinn.
And are we meant to know?
No. And she would often recite the monologue, which was in an Irish accent, but it wasn't. And he goes, I'm half to meet in Shirley Cure and Father Riley below, who told me of the curiosity man. That. And I just constantly in my childhood,
wow.
And I didn't know that monologue. I should do it for her.
Yes.
She would cry.
Chris Parker and Widow Quinn.
Okay, last one.
It's another Harry Potter one. Draco Malfoy for Harry.
Okay, well, that's just like someone's fan fiction that they've
written. Yeah, that is. That's called Drarry. If you don't know, okay, so I don't know why I know this, but like Drarry is a specific type of fan fiction that's about Draco and Harry having sex. But then there's also a specific subgenre of fan fiction called Drapple, which is maybe two people are aware of. It's because at one point in the film, I think in the Chamber of Secrets, Draco eats an apple and it looks like kind of sensual. So there's a whole genre of fan fiction about Draco and this apple that he eats in the Chamber of Secrets.
He fucks the apple.
Yeah, he fucks the apple.
Dirty little nerds.
I know. That's what they should call the title of the episode should be. Dirty little nerds. Tim, write that down. Interns.
Hey, well, I think that's it, Ryan.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Oh.
Thank you. Oh, what?
I do a quick little...
Yes.
Okay, this is super cool. For Pride Festival, this show is happening because of Pride Festival, and we've partnered with Outline. So everyone here and also anyone listening at home, you can text MALEGAZE to 2256, donate $3 to Outline, who provide free counselling to LGBTIQ+ individuals.
Not government funded, been around since 1973.
Two,
damn it.
Doing all the best, so please text MALEGAZE to 2256 and give $3. Give
it
up for Outline.
Give it up for Outline. Thank you, everyone who came along to the basement to our little straight lodge. Thank you at home for listening. Have a great Pride, everyone. It's like, how many more days left of Pride is it?
I don't know, a million.
Every day is Pride. Thank you, everyone, for coming.
Thank you so much for coming.
You've been such an amazing audience. We're sorry about this. Sorry about this.
So
have a great night, everyone. Stay I'm safe. Sorry, Mom. Love you all.
Love you.
Love your work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.